there's a common misconception amongst Christians as to where we're going to spend all of eternity. Now, obviously, we understand that when we get saved, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to be with God forever one day. But a lot of people get this idea that we're actually going to be in heaven for all of eternity. And that's actually not the case. Now, you can see where they get that idea. You know, we often say when we go out soul winning, hey, are you 100% sure that if you die today, that you'd go to heaven? And often heaven is synonymous with eternal life or being with God forever and that eternal abode. But the reality is this, is that the Bible actually teaches us that we're going to inhabit the earth for all of eternity. And in fact, Revelation chapter 21, after the millennial reign, after the battle of Gog and Magog, after the white throne judgment, God actually makes all things new, and He makes a new heaven and a new earth. And the implication there is that He's making the new earth in order to accommodate all of the righteous from the beginning of time up until the end of time. This is what's known as the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah, and even when it comes to this, there's a lot of false teaching in regards to the new heaven and new earth. You think about the doctrine of like all millennialism, where they teach that everything basically in the book of Revelation is symbolic. And they go as far as to say that right now we're in the heaven and the new earth. Or you think about like preterism, right? That it teaches that all these events in the book of Revelation have already passed. Some of them even say that right now we're in the millennial reign. And things are not getting any better, as we can clearly see.
Yeah, and they say it's symbolic. It's a symbolic representation of things that have already passed. But those false doctrines have been around for so long. We have people teaching preterism in the Bible, where they say the resurrection has passed already. We understand that when we read the book of Revelation, we look at the millennial reign, the new heaven, and the new earth, the details and the descriptions that it gives regarding these things are so vivid that we obviously understand that this is actually something literal that's going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible tells us that the meek shall inherit the earth. Yeah. We can't say today that we're inheriting the earth, you know, and we can't say that the righteous are inheriting the earth. You know, we're actually made as the lowest of the world. You know, we're the offscouring of this world, the Bible said. The world actually hates us. But the Bible actually says that one day the meek shall inherit the earth. We will inhabit the earth. And that's actually referring to not just the millennial reign, but in its fullest extent, the new heaven and the new earth. Now, obviously, we're talking about something that's way out in the future. You know, the new heaven and the new earth is not at hand. No. It's not something that's going to happen right away within the next couple of years. And in fact, we know that it's not going to happen for at least 1,000 years, because one thing that precedes the new heaven and the new earth is the millennial reign, which is for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So the question is this: when is the new heaven and the new earth going to be established?
Like you said, we still got the millennial reign that has to happen. Then we have Satan being loosened from the bottomless pit. And we got the battle of Gog and Magog, where Satan gathers, you know, the armies that are going to go against the Lord. Now, obviously, we win that battle. And then after the battle of Gog and Magog, we have what's known as the Great White Throne Judgment, where the books are open and people are judged according to their works, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And it's only after that we have the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah, because if you think about it, you can't make a new heaven and a new earth if sin is still present, if the devil's still present, if death is still present. It's not until all those things are removed from the picture that you can make a new heaven and a new earth. You know, the Bible tells us that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So once sinners and their corruptible bodies and Satan and death and hell are removed from the picture, at that point, now you have the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth. And it's a completely transformed world. I mean, think about this. One of the things that dramatically changes in the new heaven and the new earth is the fact that there will be no more sea, the Bible says. I mean, right now we have, you know, the earth is filled with like 70% of water. I mean, large masses of water all over the world. But in the new earth, there will be no more sea. And the reason for that is because, you know, the new earth has to accommodate all of the righteous from the beginning of time until the end of time. All the babies who have been aborted, you know, millions and millions of babies and billions of souls that have believed on Jesus Christ throughout the ages will inhabit the new earth. Therefore, the seas need to be removed in order to accommodate such a great multitude of people.
So basically, we're going back to a Garden of Eden conditions. You know, God is going to be there dwelling amongst us. And one of the most important things is that sin is no longer going to be present. You think about what happens at the great white throne judgment. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8 that the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall be cast into the lake of fire. So we're not going to have any sin in the new heaven and new earth. And also the last enemy to be defeated is death. And that's also not going to be present in the new heaven.
And basically the new heaven and the new earth will be like a global version of the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, because it's going to be perfect. The conditions are going to be perfect. God will be walking in the cool of the day. Sin will no longer be present. We'll be able to commune with God. The only difference is it's on a global scale. Yeah, if you think about this, in the Garden of Eden, there's all types of fruit that they can eat from. God gave Adam and Eve, you know, the privilege to go eat from every type of fruit that was growing on the trees, except, of course, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, in the new heaven and new earth, there's actually going to be, you know, the tree of life bearing 12 manner of fruits at every season. And so you see the similarities there between the Garden of Eden on a small scale and the new earth on a large scale.
And just like God was present with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God in the new heaven and new earth, he's going to be dwelling among us.
Yeah.
So that's very, you know, different.
Yeah, exactly. Revelation 21 says that he's going to descend down. The tabernacle of God is going to descend. The new Jerusalem is going to come down. And it's going to inhabit the earth. And we're going to be able to go into the Mount of God to hear of his word. We're going to be able to go into the Mount of God and commune with God there. And, you know, one of the other things that completely changes the fact that there will be no need of the sun in that holy city, right?
Yeah, and no need of the moon either. And not that they're not going to exist, simply there won't be any need for it, because God will be the light. And he's going to be, like I said, among us.
Yeah, he's going to illuminate that portion of the world. It's not that they're not going to exist, it's just the fact that his glory will be so bright that it will completely illuminate that portion of the world. It's going to be a very beautiful place to be in. So when you think of the new heaven and new earth, you know, there's obviously not a whole lot that is said about the new heaven and new earth. You have portions of scripture in the Old Testament. Of course, we have the book of Revelation. But one of the reasons I believe that the world goes through such a drastic change, it's because it's symbolically representing our resurrection. You know, you think about the millennial reign, for example. I believe that represents our salvation. Because when we get saved, Christ comes to live within us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we have a new man living within us, but it's not absent of the old man. And God commands us to subject the flesh. The Bible tells us to let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, right? So we have to constantly bring our bodies into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So you see that constant battle today as a Christian, that we have the new man along with the old man. And the new man is supposed to lead the old man. The new man is supposed to keep that old man in subjection. Well, in like manner, that's basically what the millennial reign is. It's Christ coming to dwell on this earth, right? And what is he doing? He's ruling with the rod of iron. He is subjecting those who are unregenerated. And every inhabitant in this world will be subject to the laws of God. They are obligated to obey the laws of the Lord. Not obligated to believe on him for salvation, but they will be obligated to obey the laws of the Lord. That's kind of like our salvation. And the new heaven and new earth can be likened unto our resurrection. Why is that? Well, because when we get saved, death is swallowed up in victory. The Bible says that we've overcome the wicked one. And in like manner, when you have the white throne judgment, you have Satan being cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. We kind of, in a sense, overcome those things. But also, you have a complete transformation of the earth. And you have the tabernacle of God descending from heaven onto this earth, which is exactly what we're going to see in the resurrection. You know, those who are dead in Christ shall rise first, and they're going to their bodies are going to reunite with their spirit in the air with Jesus Christ. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we be ever be with the Lord. But when that takes place in the new heaven and new earth, that's when that transformation takes place. That's when the new earth is made completely new. It is resurrected. It is completely redeemed at that point.
Yeah, so when you think about the new heaven and new earth, there's a lot of symbolism involved. But at the end of the day, it's a reality. It's something that's actually going to take place.
And you know, that's true. Because, you know, in this world, you have a lot of tribulation. You have persecution. There's a lot of difficulties and trials. A lot of pain. And, you know, if we didn't have something to look forward to, it would almost seem in vain, right? Yeah. But the reality is, as Christians, we do have something to look forward to, and that's the new heaven and the new earth. That's the millennial reign that's being with God forever. And so when we think upon those things, even though it's in a distant future, at least 1,000 years from now, it's in the distant future, we know for a fact that we're going to see it one day. It creates great excitement and hope within our hearts, and it helps us to endure the contradiction of sinners today, right? And you can see why, when John is writing the book of Revelation, you can see why he concludes it at the very end by saying, "Even so, Lord, come."